590 WKZO, and the name of the program is Lawrence and Taylor. I'm the Lawrence part, he's the Taylor part, and here we are. Yeah, you kind of need a microphone there.
Just in time mic. I didn't need it here 5 minutes ago.
I just figured you were going to shout today or something. You know, you just had a way back.
That comes later in the show.
Either that or you were going to spare everyone and talk back here like this.
Yeah, so you could just barely hear me.
So, yes, the part of Roger, he'll be straining today to speak to you. But you know what? We always do this now on Fridays. So it is one.
A Friday? Let it out.
There you go.
Breathe in.
There Let you it go. Out. See, you know, and I've already done a little bit of celebration for my Friday. I got myself a couple of cookies for my lunch.
Ooh.
So, you know.
Good cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Some of my favorites. I like the ones where they put the M&Ms in them.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't beat those. So that was part of my lunch there. Hopefully my wife's not listening, or otherwise nothing will be a part of my dinner here. But
see, I'm lucky. My wife is at work. And
there you go.
She can't listen.
So, ma'am.
Which is no different than at home when she's there. She doesn't listen to me anyway.
When she's at home, then
anyway.
She won't listen.
Yeah. You know, it's a different thing, but the outcome's the same.
Like, what? Were you on the radio today? Oh, I didn't know. Really? So, well, lots of stuff going on. Of course, the Olympics. We'll talk about that here a little in depth in just a minute or two.
Okay.
A couple of things to chat about. Also, Joe Biden has made headlines. And, you know, he often makes headlines for what I call those Uncle Joe moments. You know, Uncle Joe, the guy at the family get-together that always says something that's just really dumb. And everybody goes, oh, that's just Uncle Joe.
Or if not dumb, inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
he drops F-bombs in places F-bombs ought not be dropped.
Yes, particularly in front of the media and right before moments where the president announces something. Yeah.
That would
not
be
that he's actually done that. Of course, this is the same Joe Biden that revealed to the world where the undisclosed secure location was that they always hold Cheney up in.
Where was he?
The location, since Biden let the cat out of the bag, it was underneath the vice president's residence, believe it or not. They built a little shelter underneath there, and that's where Cheney always went. So, and Biden let it loose.
So told
everybody, hey, that's where it was. So
I don't think Biden lives in that house, does he?
I don't know where Biden lives.
I
don't know. Does he live in Delaware and still ride the Amtrak into Washington every day? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because he said that's what he did all the time. So
yeah.
I don't know.
No, there were plenty of witnesses to him riding the train.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt.
I don't know where he's living.
Maybe he's in a tent in the backyard of the White House. You know, he's just kind of out there. You know, Joe's out there. That's fine. And it's just he's a little different. But, you know, he's Joe, you know. Well, he had an interesting statement to make that we'll pick apart a little bit because it's Joe Biden. It's always fun to do that.
He certainly likes fast cars, it seems.
Does he now?
Yeah, he made a speech to the UAW, and he knew the new Corvette, and he knew how fast it went from 0 to 60, 3.4 seconds, and he said he can't wait to do that.
There you go. Do they let him do that as vice president? I don't know.
No. And he was saying this would be one of the reasons he might not want to be president is that he's not allowed to drive as a vice president. Neither is Obama.
Certainly not.
They can't drive vehicles. He was saying that would be a reason because he said he's got a neighbor who's got a Porsche and he wants to run the new vet against that guy's Porsche.
So if Biden does end up retiring, we know what he's buying
right
off.
Right.
And just, okay, he's getting a new vet. I can't disagree with him on it. The vet's nice.
But I don't know that he can afford one. When he was a senator, I don't know now, but he was one of the poorer senators.
Now, I'm not sure what his net worth is, but this you can be sure. Anybody that has been in the White House or near it can usually command a pretty good speaking fee if they retire.
Oh,
so,
if he
you know,
just start up a lobbying business like all other.
There you go. Well, you know, if he goes around and speaks, I mean, you can get, you know, probably about five figures out of one of those speeches. So, you know, you do a couple of those, yeah, you could buy a vet.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. But we'll talk about Joe Biden later. Always fun. One thing we wanted to get to, though, a couple of notes since the Olympics are apparently starting, and we've seen a few things out of the opening ceremonies. Apparently they had some lights not work.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were doing the Olympic rings, and four of the rings lit up, and the fifth one, not so much.
Well, that's sort of the story from the Olympics I like the best is Soviet authorities said they have videotape of people turning on the showers in their bathrooms in their hotels and leaving and letting them run. And there's two pieces of news there. One is people were turning on their showers and letting them run. The other, there's video cameras in the bathrooms in the hotels in the Soviet Union.
Boy, that makes you feel good.
That's, yeah, but they said, we got videos of people just wasting water, and we took them in their bathrooms.
Oops. Now, you know, the scary thing is, okay, if this is old Soviet-era places, but a lot of these hotels are brand new.
Oh, yeah. Built with cameras and other devices built right in.
Well, I've heard some stories about members of the media having their communications spied on and things like that. So lots of fun.
Well, a couple of our diplomatic personnel had a call recorded by the Russians and released on YouTube.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And one of our senior diplomatic officials, you dropped the F-bomb in the conversation. And she was on this morning apologizing for her word choices. But she said, screw the EU, we got the UN.
Oh,
and it was
a
casual conversation between working people.
But if this is a private conversation, I mean,
dropping an F-bomb is...
It's your choice if you want to do that. You know,
would never. That word would never come out of my mouth.
Of course not. There would be several others, but that one wouldn't come out.
No, it would.
But if you're going to have a private conversation, you know, I think the whole idea of, well, let me apologize to everybody for saying that. You know what? That's your conversation. It's private. Somebody else made it public.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more like, you know what? I don't like you guys now because, here, you're taking my phone calls and making them public. You know, that's...
But this all goes back to the NSA spying on other countries' leaders and tapping their cell phones. If we do that as a matter of course, why should we expect other countries not to do the same thing? And apparently they are.
And let's face it, you know, I think we've known for years that, yes, we spy on other countries, they spy on us. But this might very well have been that, you know, thumbing their nose at us to say, see, we do it too. We can do it. It's a two-way street, America.
Yeah.
You know, and that might very well be what it is. Now, there's been all sorts of silly stuff. You hear a lot of things out of Russia so far. And then you've got the Senate Intelligence Chair. And this is Dianne Feinstein from California. And she advised those that are going to the Winter Olympics that you need to watch your back and stay out of crowds.
And if you're going to the Boston Marathon, stay out of crowds. If you went to the Super Bowl, how could you avoid being in a crowd?
Of course, yes.
Any event like this, no matter where it's held in the world, is a target.
No, and you just have to, if you're hosting it, certainly have lots of security, which, you know, I think to a certain degree, and we'll see how these Olympics play out, but to a certain degree, I think the Russians do fairly well in that area from past military experience and that kind of thing. But, at the same time, to give this kind of advice, stay out of crowds at an event where there's going to be a lot of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you just need to, you know, go to the nosebleed section where nobody's sitting, even though the place is going to be packed. So, you know.
Right.
Makes perfect sense.
But, you know, this is apparently she has a great sense of the obvious.
Of course.
We're not allowed to take toothpaste to the Russian Olympics because you can't have any bottle of any liquid or paste or anything in your luggage. People are going to come back with green teeth, I swear.
I guess.
But who would go there not realizing there is some risk of a terrorist attack?
Sure. The only thing I can figure is, you know, with the toothpaste thing, there's going to be guys on the street corner with a trench coat.
Want to buy some toothpaste?
Want to buy some Crest?
Yeah.
I have the Colgate over here.
Right.
It'll cost you $50.
In Russia, they allow capitalism now, so there will be people trying to make money on that, no doubt.
Without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
So, and speaking of making money, now, you know, with the Olympics, for the most part, these are amateur athletes, with some exceptions, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, these are the best non-professional athletes in the world.
The medal winners are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you got to figure that anybody that is going.
Oh,
there,
yeah. Could
they're
be
among
you and I, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know,
yeah. That's true.
You get somebody, I mean, they're gonna do the luge better than I ever could, which you don't want to see that. So, you know.
Now, just getting into a trough and sliding downhill, I've got some skills in that.
But
I could be competitive.
Apparently, you got to do it fast. That's the difference.
Oh.
You got to be able to slide down that ice fast and control it.
Oh.
So, uncontrollable slides, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that takes me out of the...
Which, you know, maybe they should do something like that. You know, you get style points for falling down a certain way on the ice and things like that. I'm all for that. But with the Olympics, apparently, the Olympic Commission is going to end up having any prizes that are awarded to American athletes taxed. Here's what's happening here. Medal winners, for gold winners, they get $25,000 for winning the gold.
Okay.
$15,000 for winning the silver. And $10,000 for winning a bronze medal. And, of course, given that a lot of these athletes will end up with contracts with Subway and things like that, they're going to be making a good bit of money. So a lot of that money that they get from their winnings could end up gone. In the hands of the IRS, which, and I found this because I remember this from the summer games they had a couple of years ago. Same sort of thing happened. And
we always taxed, or is this something new?
I knew about it 2 years ago. Beyond that, I'm not sure what's been done. I can tell you this. If you're going to get a contract with Subway or McDonald's or whoever it is that you're going to have a contract with where you're going to be shilling to sell burgers, subs, or whatever.
Wheaties.
Yeah. Wheaties, there you go. Then, okay. All right, we'll tax that. That's income, that's a contract, that's, you know, okay, that's good. But you know what? If you go and represent this nation, you're going to stand on a podium with a gold medal around your neck, national anthem playing, one of those moments where all Americans take pride. I think what America owes those athletes is, thank you for doing that. And not, thanks for doing that. Where's my cut?
Okay.
That bothers me.
No, I can see your point, and it would be a relatively simple thing for Congress to write a very specific law that exempts Olympic payouts from being taxable income.
Sure. Now, I'd be interested, too, and I don't know the answer to this one, but I'd be interested, too, to see if the value of the medal in the medal itself is also taxable. Since they walk away with a gold medal, would they get taxed for that? I don't know the answer to that.
And is it solid gold, or is it just gold-coated?
I don't know.
I don't know
my Olympic medals.
Yeah, so. That it's solid gold. I think it's, you know, there's gold on it.
Yeah, but I just know gold, silver, and bronze.
The bronze winner wouldn't have to pay much in taxes at all.
You wouldn't think so. You know, kind of wonder in modern times if they wouldn't replace bronze with copper or something.
Yeah, something,
you know,
that has real value.
You know, copper has that resale value.
You betcha.
Anyway, if you'd like to comment on these things, feel free to give us a call, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can text us at the following number.
Oh, 80373, and speaking of texts.
Yes.
A rollover accident on eastbound 94 near Sprinkle Road.
Try that again.
I'm ready.
Okay.
There is a rollover accident on eastbound 94 near Sprinkle Road.
There you go. All right.
I could get that out.
So, okay.
So if you're stuck in traffic out there, now you know why.
There's why.
Get off at Portage Road. It's eastbound. So get off at Portage Road.
Okay.
Take Kilgore around.
He's going through his mental geography there, trying to figure, okay, which way do I direct him? Okay, you know what? And you know, I'm sure you probably would sit there and go, and since you're getting off, you could pick up some donuts for us.
Right,
you know?
Right. You could swing by Sweetwater right there on Sprinkle Road.
There you go. not that we're begging or anything.
I like the apple. Oh, we weren't going on with that.
No, we weren't going
on
with that.
Oh, okay.
Another discussion for another time. But feel free to give us a call. Tell us what you think, particularly as we're talking about some of these notes for the Olympics. Do you think the athletes ought to be taxed on their winnings from the Olympics themselves? Give us a call. Let us know as we continue the discussion here on a little program we'd like to call Lawrence and Taylor. It's on 590 WKZO. The sound that's coming through your radio right now, we really would just like to apologize for.
Well,
because it's us.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You deserve an apology.
So.
There you got it.
Yeah. Okay. Not that we actually gave them an official apology. You just deserve one.
Yeah.
So, you know. There you go. It's Lawrence and Taylor. It's 590 WKZO. We were just talking about, if you're just tuning in, you know, apparently, and as we go over this, it's the U.S. Olympic Commission that is paying the Olympic athletes for winning the prizes, as it were.
So I guess that means other countries may or may not have a financial reward for winning.
May or may not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This just applies as far as Americans are concerned. And, you know, I think the IRS is sitting back going,
money.
They're sitting here watching the Olympics going, go Sean White! Yeah!
Yeah,
great! You can, ching!
You can hear the big sigh when the American athlete is fourth, and they go, oh, no money in that.
No, I feel like with this is one of those things where somebody in Congress needs to step up and say, look, these are our athletes. They're representing our country in front of the world. We really need to be able to say to them, thank you, in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'm not saying make every last one of them tax-free for the rest of their life.
Right.
And I'm not saying, you know, and on their endorsements and any other money they make off of that kind of thing, you know, that's fine. Tax that. That's cool. That's what would happen to any athlete. But these people are representing our country. Let's say thanks by making any winnings they get off of that tax-free. I think that'd be a great move.
Well, and in the absence of Congress changing the law to not tax that income, maybe there could be an affluent supporter who could make up the difference to the athletes. But I agree, they ought not be penalized.
Mm-hmm.
The gold medal consists of only 1% actual gold.
Oh, okay.
The rest is made up of silver, 92.5, and copper, 6.16% copper, and it has a real world value of $644.
Okay.
The metal itself.
All right. So it's the gold kind of sorta metal.
And the bronze is worth $4.70.
That makes you feel good. Not only did you miss out on first place, not only did you miss out on second place, but guess what? Here's a $4 trinket.
Yes. $4.70, Jeremy. The silver, while we're on this, worth $330.
Okay. All right. So
only 1% real gold in the gold metal.
Mm-hmm. So it's like it's almost like more gold colored.
Yes,
I guess
goldish,
you know,
so to speak.
There was gold at the start of the process.
Yeah.
That's all we can tell you. So no, but the Olympics. It's interesting. It always makes me laugh a little bit because you think about this: the Winter Olympics. 4 years ago, we were all into speed skating, bobsledding, luge, skeleton, things like that. And in the ensuing years after that, how many of us actually watched any of those sports?
Mm-hmm.
Until we get around to the Olympics when, guess what? All of a sudden, we're all interested in bobsled, speed skating, luge.
Curling.
Curling.
Ooh.
That's
there's
another
an
one
Olympic
that's interesting.
Sport.
Yes, basically you get to broom the ice off. I don't know. Kind of sounds like cleaning to me.
Yes.
So, well, hopefully our Olympic cleaners can clean up on the podium, get gold for that wonderful little custodial sport.
Yes.
A program called Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. Jeremy Lawrence here with you along with Roger Taylor. And a brief timeout for traffic. Apparently we're getting somebody texting us about something.
A couple of texts. If you make it past the Sprinkle Road kerfuffle and are continuing east, you'll find another kerfuffle at just prior to exit 112. That is the east exit to go into Marshall, and traffic is backed up past I-69 because of that accident. So I-94 sort of messy this afternoon, both at Sprinkle Road and around Marshall and the I-69 interchange.
Okay, and if they want to get around that, I suppose there's a pizza place somewhere
and
they could go.
Yes, I like mushrooms and pepperoni.
Not that he's begging for anything at all whatsoever.
Right. I would never do that. I'm a class act.
Of course.
Right.
You're just only informing people because... You know, there have been questions.
Right. People want to know, well, if I'm forced off, what can I eat?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm there to help.
Yeah. You're making a suggestion
that
might help people go, well, I wonder what I should have. Well,
yeah.
There you go. Okay.
Right.
Now you know. For whatever reason.
Yes.
So well, we were talking about the Olympics, and you'd actually done a little research, I guess, 2012. There were some bills introduced
into both the Senate and the House this confirmed that the IRS doesn't look at the medals themselves as income.
Okay.
And
I wondered
so
about
if
that.
You win that $4.70 bronze medal, you don't have to pay any taxes whatsoever on
Uncle Sam's not going to come along and go, okay. That'll be 89 cents.
Yes. there was a bill introduced into the Senate and in the House. Both bills went nowhere to exempt the income from winning an Olympic medal from taxation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess they're either going to pay taxes or hopefully there might be somebody out there who is supportive of, wouldn't you think this would be the one thing Democrats and Republicans could agree on?
You would think.
If an American wins a gold medal, we're not going to tax them. Mm-hmm. And they could all stand with their arms around each other and for one brief shining moment be an American.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
nope, both bills died in their respective houses.
You would think maybe for some of these, and maybe this is an opportunity for a politician or someone of some wealth to come alongside some of these athletes, and when they go to pay the IRS, they can look at them and say, no, I got this.
Yeah.
I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
You just thank you for serving your country. Thank you for representing us, making us all feel very proud. And, you know, you just get that mental picture of IRS employees kind of going, dope!
Yeah,
when we don't. So at least we know they're pulling for American athletes. But
well, do we tax the wages of soldiers fighting in Afghanistan, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't know.
I'm wondering, as long as we're honoring commitment to the country,
mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if we tax the income made by people fighting in our military for us.
I would assume we do.
I would assume so, too.
So
I'm thinking that's sort of offensive to me as well.
That one might be worth bringing up to say, well, what about our military, you know, men and women in the military? You know, and maybe you narrow it down to just say, okay, if you are in the field fighting a war.
Yeah, if you're in combat.
Yeah.
If you're in a war zone.
You're in a combat zone. You're in Afghanistan, whatever. Yeah.
And I don't care where you are in mm-hmm. Afghanistan. Just the fact you're in Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
should exempt you from paying taxes on the pittance we pay
sure.
These people.
Sure, absolutely.
We expect them to put their lives on the line for wages that qualify them for food stamps. I mean, hello.
Well, you know what? If somebody decides to champion this bill, somebody in Congress, perhaps, all we ask is you call it the Lawrence and Taylor bill.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all.
Do we, just a little bit of honor for us.
There you go. You know,
our income will remain taxed, folks.
Of course. Unless you want to exempt that, too. But
I'm just looking at the real world here, Jeremy.
I'm wishing and hoping. You know, a guy can dream,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, another thing, another big dream of mine is that at some point in the future, we're going to see warmer weather. I know, live in the real world.
Yeah.
I get that. But you know what? Bob Larson is here, and I figured, you know, what the heck? I'll ask him just to see if my wildest, completely crazy dreams will come true at some point. Bob, what do you think?
Well, let me address that.
Ooh.
In looking at the some of the very long-range computer models, the ones that just give you averages for kind of on a week-by-week basis, taking it out to a few weeks. Now, they're portraying the final 2 weeks of February as being more or less average or just slightly below average temperature-wise. And if we were having this conversation in October and I were to tell you that we were going to have an average February, maybe slightly colder than average, that wouldn't sound very good because when you think of February, you think of cold, you think of snow, and to say that it'll be an average February, maybe a little colder than average, it doesn't sound very nice. But when I present it this way, and I talk about the average highs in the last 2 weeks of February are generally middle and upper 30s, and average lows are lower 20s. That sounds okay right about now.
I'm getting out the
yeah.
shorts.
So it's all perspective. What I'm saying is I don't see us busting into a warm weather pattern anytime soon, unusually mild or anything like that. But I think we're going to take the edge off of this for the final 2 weeks of the month, to the point where it's more typical cold, not the extreme cold. Having said that, highs in the middle and upper 30s, lows in the lower 20s is still cold enough to potentially give us some snow and ice problems on occasion. So I'm not trying to paint an unreasonably pleasant picture. I'm just trying to say it looks to me a little less extreme in the last 2 weeks of this month, and that hopefully is the start of something better for March.
Boy, you know, I was feeling so good there, Bob, and then you poked holes in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying.
He giveth and he taketh away.
Trying to help, yeah. See this? Nope, can't have it.
Well, what are we looking at for the weekend?
We're looking, let me go through the forecast, and then I'll go into my word.
Okay.
Very cold tonight, but it's been breezy today. The breeze diminishes. so the wind won't be much of a factor. Cloud cover increases, projecting a low of 3 above. If the clouds hold off till 5 or 6 in the morning, then we'll end up being more like 3 below. It's a function of how quickly the clouds come in terms of how low we get.
Sure.
But 3 above, 3 below, any way you slice it, that's frigid. And then tomorrow it's cloudy, it's cold, and there'll be some snow in the afternoon into tomorrow night, maybe an inch or so, not a lot.
Okay.
And then high tomorrow 19, low tomorrow night 12, and a few lingering snow showers on Sunday with a high of 23.
No accumulation?
Maybe probably less than an inch of new snow on Sunday.
Hmm.
So it's an inch or so tomorrow afternoon and evening, probably less than an inch on Sunday. Total for the weekend, probably 1 to 2.
Okay, we can handle that.
So that word ends up being, based upon what I just told you, it ends up being typical. Typical for this winter season. It's cold, and it's at times snowy, but it's kind of par for the course that is 2014.
Yes.
Now, Bob, before we get into all of the numbers this week, because it is Friday,
right,
we want to dig into those, I did have one question.
Okay.
Do you think at any point, just in the foreseeable, next week or so, are we looking at temperatures warm enough to melt off any of this bumper crop of snow?
I think that by Thursday, it looks less cold after Wednesday. I think we can reach the lower 30s on Thursday and maybe again Friday of next week, which would produce some melting.
Okay. All right.
And here's something also to keep in mind. If it's a sunny day, not today with the sun out and it being, 11, 12 degrees, not today. Mm-hmm. But if we get a sunny day and it's 28 or 9, there will still be melting because, you see, the sun in February carries much more weight, much more energy, much more melting power than it does in December and early January. So even if the air temperature is 28 or 9, just having the sun out will produce some melting during the day without question.
Okay.
Add to that the idea that I think we can get into the lower 30s on Thursday and Friday next week. And, yes, there will be some melting. A lot, no. But at this point, we don't want a rapid warm-up because think of the problems that would bring. If it suddenly were 60 degrees and raining and we melted all this at once and it was that warm, we'd have all kinds of mess problems with flooding and a big mess.
Because the ground's frozen, the water's got nowhere to go.
Right. So that's a concern down the road. But the sooner we start to melt some of this off bit by bit, that's going to help.
Cool.
Okay. Well, let's dig into the numbers for all the weather nerds.
Let me start with the month, because I found we're only 1 week into the month, but there's some interesting numbers here. I'll start with last year. Last year, this first week of February, our average temperature was 16.1 degrees. That's almost 9 degrees colder than average. It was a very cold February last year. You know what? It's even colder this year. 10.5 degrees colder than average this year. How about snow? Last year at this point, the first week of February, we had 8.9 inches of snow, almost 9 inches of snow. Well, more snow this year, 9.2. Precipitation-wise, when you melted that snow down, it was about a tie, 0.31 last year and 0.33 this year. Now, for the season, for the year, for the calendar year, temperature-wise, so far in 2014, we've had an average temperature of 16.1. Last year, 25.8. That 25.8 reading was 1.5 degrees warmer than average. Our 16.1 this year is 8.5 colder than average. That's a 10-degree swing. Precipitation-wise, we were wetter last year, 4.84 compared to this year's 2.44, roughly double the amount last year, although both those numbers are slightly, or at least this year, is slightly wetter than average, quite a bit wetter than average last year. Snowfall-wise, for the season, not for the calendar year January 1, but for the season that started back in the fall, last season at this point we had 37.7 inches of snow, more than 3 feet of snow. That's a lot. This year, instead of 37.7, how about 76.4? We have doubled last year's snow total.
Oh, we all feel so much
yes.
better about that.
And I can recall, I don't have the exact numbers, but I can recall around this time last year, taking that 37.7 and comparing it to the previous winter and saying how much more 37.7 was and how harsh it was. And we've outdone ourselves this year is what I'm saying.
Think of how mild we'll think it is next winter.
That's right. Next year, if it's only 2 below average and maybe 10 inches more average than snow, then we'll be talking about, you know, Bob, why is this such a mild winter? We
yes.
can only hope.
Yes, we're going to hold you to that.
All right.
All right.
Have a good weekend, Bob.
You too. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks.
All right. Bob Larson from AccuWeather there. And glad he could be along to at least share some of the good news.
76 inches of snow.
Well, that's not some of the good news I was thinking about.
Oh, that's a lot of snow.
The program continues ahead. We've got Bob from Kalamazoo standing by on the line. So when we continue, we'll chat with him and spend some time with you as well on the program called Lawrence and Taylor on 590 WKZO.
I feel like I'm at a hockey game.
Are you?
Well, the music there.
The music?
Yeah.
They do this one?
Yeah, the organ. I don't know if it's okay. That song, but
I don't know.
It makes me feel like I'm at a hockey game.
Well, given the weather, the ice, yeah, that kind of thing, I suppose that makes sense. And the Winter Olympic Games.
Yes.
We're talking about that. Hockey's certainly a part of that.
I'm in the season.
There you go. 'Tis the season of winter sports. Tell you what, Bob from Kalamazoo is on the line. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be on the line with you guys today.
How you doing?
Great. It's sun shining and there's no snow waiting for me to shovel.
Oh, yep. We've got some in our parking lot if you'd like to shovel some.
Yeah, come on down.
Yeah, listening to Bob talking about the 76 inches of snow, I think I felt every inch.
We all did. Yes. Yeah, every one of us.
Oh, but you earlier you were discussing about taxing the troops over in combat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they have is what's called a combat zone tax exclusion. And I thought it was kind of weird because I experienced it. They actually withhold the taxes, but then the next month they refund the withholdings.
Hmm. Okay.
So they take it and they give it back right away.
Interesting. So,
that is unusual. Good that they do it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I don't remember if it's actually Congress that determines the geographical areas that fall under the combat zone. So it's whether you're stationed there, you're stationed on a ship that's in the area, or you're actually an air crew member overflying the area, you fall under that combat zone.
Okay.
So, okay.
Even if you're a mechanic fixing equipment on a base, you still qualify for that exemption because you're working in a combat zone.
Yep. Okay. And that was my case, working on the aircraft deployed over to Kuwait and a few other places. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they do that. I wasn't aware of that.
Thank you.
It's nice. So you're welcome.
There's very few things that make me feel warm and fuzzy about our government, and this actually does. That's a reasonable thing to do for people who are putting themselves in harm's way for the country's benefit. Okay. Thanks for what you did, Bob.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your thanks. And guys, have a nice weekend.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
You too, Bob. And appreciate his phone call there. Of course, a reminder, you can call in anytime you like, whatever we're talking about. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, or you can text us, 80373. We'll get your text to us so that we can let everybody know what you're thinking via text.
And I do have one I need to mention.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with curling.
Nothing wrong with curling.
That's the text message.
Absolutely.
I brought up curling.
Yeah.
And
no, we make fun, and a lot of people do, but it's a legitimate sport, and people do enjoy that. It's something I was talking yesterday with Michael, and we were talking about curling and that kind of thing. It was mm-hmm. something that I actually, when I lived up in the Tri-Cities, I was going to do at some point. There was a group up there that did curling, and I was mm-hmm. like, you know what? I'd like to try this. Sadly, we had to cancel out. Somebody was sick or something like that. So it was one of those things I wanted to try at some point just to say, you know what? I've done curling.
Jim McKinney, one of our morning crew, mm-hmm. Is really into curling. I don't know if he's done it, but there are curling groups here in town. Mm-hmm. And he's been to I don't know what you call a curling scrimmage. Or
you call that a match or something? I don't know. See, yeah. this is showing our complete ignorance on
yes.
the sport itself.
Well, we show our complete ignorance on other things. Why yeah. shouldn't we?
On an almost hourly basis,
yeah.
really. So.
Yeah.
let's go to the phones here real quick and chat with John in Battle Creek. John, glad you're with us.
Yep. Thank you, guys. I really like your show. It's really cool. But
thanks.
We like it, too.
Well, I just want to make the suggestion about the winnings of the athletes.
Yes.
That has to be all tax deductible for the expenses that, you know, that they have to pay to travel there and their food, their preparation. And they must pay a lot of money to get ready to go to the Olympics. That has to be all. There's no way that they would have to pay any taxes.
Well, but aren't most of those expenses paid by the U.S. Olympic Committee? I think they support the training and transportation. I don't think going to Sochi is coming out of the pockets of our athletes.
Well, that, you know, I can't argue with that, Roger, but I think that they must pay a lot out of their own pocket to prepare for that.
Oh, and
I'm sure there's some of that. Yeah.
And it certainly should be tax deductible if that's the case. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be my thought. I can't imagine that their winnings could exceed what it cost them to prepare. And, to, you know, even though the Olympic Committee pays a lot of it, I'm sure, but.
Now, they're saying if you win a gold, and this is a gold, this is the highest you can get, at least in this, they're saying it's $25,000. So you would think that at least that would be laid out in training for that.
It would cost at least that much to prepare and to get there, I would think. But
and wouldn't you think in 2012, a bill was introduced into both the House and the Senate to make it tax-exempt? If you win a medal in the Olympics. And wouldn't you think that would be something Congress could agree on and actually accomplish?
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, Roger.
I mean, it's not a political issue.
No.
I can't imagine either political party coming out against the Olympics.
No. And the other thing is, what about the folks that don't win? You know, how much they, you know, put mm-hmm. into it and, mm-hmm. and get there and don't win anything?
Yeah, yeah. Good point.
I guess at that point you just win a trip to the White House.
Yeah.
Second
prize
is you don't win medals and stuff.
Yeah, well, they just have the medalists there. I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think the losers get to go.
Right. So don't you think the losers deserve at least a tax break?
Well, you would think it's a work related expense, I suppose.
The travel and stuff. But.
Sure. Sure. Well, John, appreciate your input today.
Okay. Thank you, guys. I like your show. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
And John there in Battle Creek. And the program continuing next hour. You know what? We forgot to tell people what our video of the day was. So we're going to chat about that and got some stories about Joe Biden next hour.
Oh, that'll
be good
fun.
Stuff.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.